on the latest edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel. That's R-E-K-A-P, and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcasts. Gordon Wittenmeyer joins me. We talk about Jed Hoyer's State of the Cubs season-ending speech and what this winter might look like. Welcome into the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only anywhere you get your favorite podcast with my guy. He's Gordon Wittenmeyer. I'm David Kaplan. So many people go like, boy, I love when you two yell at each other. You guys really good friends? Yeah, we're actually great friends. We just have different opinions. So I'm going to tell you.
Yes, right, it's now. You. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to tell you right now, Jed Hoyer had the best day yesterday when he met the media of any Chicago executive, I would say, since Theo Epstein's opening press conference.
What?
He was awesome yesterday. He was awesome.
He was a loser yesterday. He was not preparing for a playoff game. He should have been. It's his fault. I mean, how do you say he had the best day? I don't give a shit what he said. Who cares what he said? He failed. What are you talking about?
We're not judging what the team did. I'm simply telling you.
We blew smoke up your ass and you bought it.
When he stands up there or sits up there and says, no, it wasn't a success. It was not.
No kidding.
Most executives don't have those kind of balls. Most would say, well, it was a success based on where we're at.
Most idiot executives would say that. Like, look at the guy in Seattle. He's talking about 54%. We try to be 54% better all the time. And over 10 years, you know, we'll get to the playoffs more often than not. And then that gives us a chance to get to the World Series. So thank you for having patience. And I hope you can have more patience with us. Now, that's an idiot. And that guy played the game. But most guys that have two brain cells to rub together don't say shit like that. They say
right.
Stuff.
Jed said
the right thing, but he had the best day of any executive. He's sitting at home while the goddamn Arizona Diamondbacks are in the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they should be there. That's a different discussion. Yesterday, I thought he had a great day. The way he approached things. Yeah, we've got to take the next step. Let me ask you about David Ross. Yeah, next year is a big year for David Ross. No doubt about it.
Did he say it was a big year for him? Did he put himself on the firing line? Because he should. It should be all about him next year.
Big year for all of us here. Carter and me and David. Yeah, we've got to take the next step now. And I think they're going to go out. They're going to spend significant money. He said, we had a lengthy meeting with Cody Bellinger Sunday morning. We did. He loves it here. We want him back. We'll have to let this process play.
He ain't coming back. And you know.
Why do you say that? Why do you have such a loser's mentality?
You know damn well he's not coming back.
Why?
First of all, I did hear what he said about that yesterday. I don't remember the exact words, but it sure sounded like this veiled message that he's probably not coming back. And it goes back to what you and I have talked about from the start on this, what I've said about it. He's going to test free agency. He's going to take this bounce back year at his relatively young age for free agency and try to turn it into the biggest contract of his life, certainly. But he's going to try to set the market. He's going to be one of the best hitters on the market. He's going to try to get that money and those years. And I just don't see the Cubs having the appetite once that market is set to pay it. And all it takes is one team to go stupid on that thing.
And I don't think there's someone out there that's going to go as stupid as you think they are.
You remember who his agent is.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So Scott Boras is going to do that. And Scott Boras is the best in the business at that. I mean, look, we love Chris Bryant and his family and the whole thing and what he did in Chicago. Do you think he was $182 million, 8-year ball player when he signed that contract even?
No.
Right. And he certainly isn't now. All it took was one. And I'm not ripping Chris Bryant, when he was here and when he was healthy, he was the best hitter on that roster. However, he wasn't healthy a lot. And by the time he got to free agency, he wasn't that player. And he got that money. That's how good Scott Boras is. And that's the kind of stuff he's going to be looking for. And that's why Cody Mellinger's not coming back to this team. They need to concentrate on getting Jamer Candelario and then incrementally improving their lineup while they improve their pitching.
Jamer Candelario had a horseshit second half here.
Oh, Mr. I love Jamer for months. Now you hate
him. I wanted him. He let me down. He did not play that well. No, I'll tell you.
Didn't play well down the stretch. That team imploded in every facet of the game down the stretch.
They ran out of gas, and that's on the front office for not adding on bullpen help and a starter.
That
said, they're going to go out and trade for a guy, maybe him, maybe someone like him, Pete Alonso. They're going to go get a guy like that. Maybe
that's great.
Maybe it's Juan Soto. Maybe they go get Juan Soto. He's probably Soto.
Now, Juan Soto, that would be the deal. That put that way up here as one of the biggest coups in maybe in Cubs front office history if they go land him. And look, Alonso is fine and great and powerful and all that, and he's a dangerous. You know, you could argue he's more dangerous than Lindor, who was a very dangerous hitter in that lineup, switch hitter and the whole thing. But Alonso's a right-handed bat. They've got right-handed bats. To win big, to win in October, you need left-handed, middle-of-the-order monsters. They had that. Now, we talk about some of the other guys year to year in those competitive years with the Cubs, but that lineup was always built around Anthony Rizzo.
Yep.
Rightfully so. And hitters like that, like he was in his prime, and to some extent he still is, they don't come around that often. And especially when you can apply him to a position that they play really well, even if it's first base. I mean, he was a platinum glove at first base, talking about Anthony Rizzo. Those are the kinds of – you need a left-handed guy. That's what made Cody Bellinger so valuable for this lineup when he was hitting. When he was at his best, this team was at its best, and they were scoring the most runs. And it's because of that big left-handed bat in the middle and what that does for the entire lineup.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you consistently have a second market mentality when it comes to my favorite baseball team? You treat them like they're the freaking Kansas City Royals.
No, I don't. They treat themselves like they're the Kansas City freaking Royals.
No, they don't.
Over and over again, they ought to be acting more like the Yankees and the Big Shots.
They just spent $232 million this year.
After they completely gutted the freaking roster and created massive amounts of payroll flexibility.
And they were right on every guy they got rid of.
Fine, but let's not pretend.
Oh, fine.
Let's not pretend like they've got this history of going big and going to their limits. They do a minimal amount of what a big market team does. They do not compete with the other big market teams to the ability of their revenue. They haven't.
They were third in payroll when they were in their run to the World Series.
Because Theo made that happen after they built to a certain point, and then they went over the luxury tax for the first time ever. Which, by the way, you go back and look at those luxury tax thresholds, they were suppressed because of the CBA wins by the owners. It was super easy to go over those things. But to their credit, they did. And Theo made that happen. That ownership does not have the appetite to play in the deep waters with the big revenue teams on a year-over-year basis. They're incremental about things. They sort of... they look at these windows. So that's why you've seen two resets, two tankings in a decade, because they go tear it down again. And then eventually, like if they get it, look, if they had gone to the playoffs this year, stayed healthy, if Marcus Stroman had, well, if he'd have continued to do what he did at leading into the All-Star break, he would have opted out. But let's say he's healthy and productive down the stretch and doesn't opt out. And they've got this core coming back, healthy and good then at that point, you've got to spend, you probably do at that point, you're kind of, that's where you calculate it's worth going over the luxury tax threshold. And they probably would, but to what extent, I don't know. At this point, they need some serious pitching help.
Yep.
And
now, do you say pitching help in the bullpen or in the rotation?
I think both. I think they need a legitimate.
So here's where their rotation is right now.
Bullpen help.
Okay. Kyle Hendricks, Jed said, we want him back. So they have an option. They'll pick that up. And I would bet they give him a couple year extension and tack that on.
Okay. And Steele.
Okay. Now you got Steele. You got Tyone. You got Wicks. Cade Horton's the number one pitching prospect in baseball. Number one.
Okay.
Okay. So we got Horton, Tyone, Wicks, Stroman, Hendricks, Steele. We're at six right now, and Jed wants to add a high leverage, like top of the rotation type arm if he can find one, like the kid from Japan.
That's what you have to do. Whether it's the kid from Japan, whether it's Aaron Nola, whether it's
Sonny
Gray, maybe. But that's what you have to do. So take him at his word. If he does that, great. I mean, as far as Cade Horton goes, that's awesome. But we saw some cautionary tales even this year. What's a kid's name? Andrew Painter in Philadelphia, who was counted on. And I can't remember if he got hurt right out of the chute, but he wasn't available to him. And what was the other one? Grayson Rodriguez in Baltimore was supposed to be the next great guy to come along. Wasn't ready right away. Got sent down, got called back up, kind of shaky, but wound up having a pretty good season in the end. Point is, you can't like just, this guy might have all the talent in the world and have a great career, but you can't count on him going into spring next year. But that's the way to go. Go get one of these guys. Okay. Now the back end of your rotation, you can do whatever you want. You got depth. Make sure that bullpen's firmed up. And the one thing that they have going for them going into next year, because they went out and got Dansby Swanson last year, is they've got what I think is the best middle infield in the National League and one of the top two or three in all of baseball. That's a great start for your run prevention. And if you go firm up your outfield when you lose Cody Bellinger, then now you
got Petey Crow, kid.
Okay. Well, if he's ready to actually produce in the big leagues, well, we'll find out. So you got him coming, but you get your run prevention set, and they've got most of that in place now. Get that pitching there. Now you can incrementally do what you need to do with your hitting. Those things are the things that would have got you in down the stretch this year.
And no doubt. But I think you're going to see them. I'm not telling you they're going to get Ohtani, Bellinger, and trade for Soto. I didn't say that. But I do think you're going to see them push a lot of chips in the middle. And they should be the favorite in that division.
Well, that's an interesting statement to make, because they should certainly be competitive. They should certainly contend for that division title.
Yes.
And what you just laid out as their plan, that's absolutely the way to go. If you take them at their word and they do that and they accomplish that, last two off seasons should be examples to make you think that that's possible, if not likely to happen. Cool. Now you go in. Again, I don't think the Brewers are going away. And I think the Cardinals are going to be very aggressive. And they've got that. What they don't have right now is starting pitching. That's the thing they've been very public about, that they're going to be very aggressive about. But they've got a pretty good core other than that. And they've got two of the better prospects coming up that we saw at the end of the year. Mason Wynn was one. Jordan Walker he was there all season long. He's only going to get better next year, but there was another kid that came up at the end and now I'm blanking on his name. The Reds have that entirely young core. They debuted 16 guys and about six of them, the rookies this year, one of them still going to be a rookie next year, are going to go in ready to take another step collectively, if not all of them succeed. And then they've got their pitching is another year older. They expect to be healthier. They're not going to go away. I don't think that they're going to be world beaters next year, but they're going to be competitive. I don't know what the Pirates have coming. We saw how they started this year. And then that's, I mean, you're talking four teams probably that are legitimate threats to have legit reason to believe that they're going to go in and have a winning record, hands down, and with a chance to compete for a playoff spot. Four teams in that division. I think that that's real.
I don't disagree that's real, but there is no reason to think if Jed came out and said, we want Cody Bellinger back. He didn't soft soap it. Well, we'll see. And Cody's earned the right to test them. No, he came out and said, we had a long meeting Sunday morning. He loves it here. He loves this organization. He loves being at Wrigley. He loves being with those fans. And we are absolutely would like to have him back. And we would like to add on. So what if you have the pie in the sky, Cody's in center or at first, Alonzo will play some first and be your DH. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the idea that you've got MVP caliber Cody Bellinger back at some ridiculous contract. You've got Alonzo right next to him. You got Ortiz and Manny Ramirez in your mind going back to back in that lineup. I know, but that's what you're laying out here.
That would allow you to bring a guy like Candelario back at a lot less money than having to go try and get Matt Chapman.
Why wouldn't you just get Jamer back anyway at a lot less money?
I would hope to upgrade. If I'm not getting Bellinger or Alonso, I got to upgrade third base.
Look what happened when you didn't address that situation last year to even a minimal degree. He had all kinds of problems the first half at that position. So I think Jamer addresses a lot of things for you, not the least of which is he's a switch hitter who can do some things for you at the plate.
Bring him back then, but he's not my big offseason acquisition now.
I think he's more important than you're giving him credit for. I think all these pieces – look, you said they ran out of gas. One of the things they didn't have going in, and we talked about this when the season started, was – depth. We saw that they added guys the year before. They added guys this last offseason. They had expensive guys on the roster, guys with track records, all-stars, guys, you know, gold glove at shortstop. They had these guys and front-end guys that were competitive that if you stayed healthy, you thought, well, you have a reasonable chance to have a winning record, maybe, and then see where it takes you. But what we identified this, Cap, I don't know if you remember this. We identified this going into the season. The depth was always going to be an issue. Did they have enough pitching depth? Did they roll the dice in a way that was going to come up the way they needed it to in the bullpen? And then even in the lineup, how much depth do you have? Both in the field and at the plate. And part of running out of gas down the stretch was the depth. So these pieces that we're talking about, like you can go out and get, go out and get Shohei Alonso and bring back Cody Bellinger. That doesn't guarantee anything. I sure like their chances to score a bunch of runs, but they need to prevent runs. They need to pitch. They need to close down games, and they need to have options in enough places. This is where the game is now. The other place the game is, by the way, is athleticism. They need some young guys. They need athletic guys, more guys like Nico Horner to take advantage of some of the new rules in the game. But if you don't have that, then you are going to tend to run out of gas down the stretch.
So I'm looking at their salaries right now. Right now, today, the Cubs' estimated tax payroll for next year, 153. 153, that gives you $83 million in space, Gordo.
Yeah, and some of that's going to be right. Does that take into account all the arbitration races?
It does not. It does take into account Marcus Stroman's money.
So are these are the, this is the dollars on the books.
Dollars on the books right now.
Okay, so you got your zero to threes and you got your arbitration guys coming. So, you know, that goes up. So it's not quite that. But yeah, certainly you could go out and get a couple of players. But that's what I'm talking about. Go spend whatever it is, 20 million a year, whatever it is to get that pitcher, 20 something a year, to get that pitcher that you're going to add to the rotation. And that's not even a top of the market guy. That's maybe the next guy or the next guy. And then go fill that bullpen up with some decent arms. Go get at least two guys that you feel like you can count on. And that might cost you $8 to $10 million to get those two guys. And then start looking at your lineup.
If Stroman opts out, I don't think he will, but you never know.
He'd be foolish to opt out unless he's got something, you know, some backroom deal with somebody for multiple years. He'd be foolish to opt out. He's got to come back and show that he's the pitcher he was before the All-Star game. He's only got one. I mean, he's only got one season. He's got to do that. And then he can go get some money on another 3-year deal.
Yeah, no, dollars committed is $111.3 million, but that does not include option years that are exercised. Yeah. So, all right, you got to hand, you know, the money on Stroman in there.
Hendricks.
Kyle Hendricks. So it gets you to that 153 number. That allows you, through some creative contracts, to go get Cody Bellinger and add whoever that guy is. You do not have to give up a ton to get a guy like Pete Alonso because he's in the final year of his deal. Same on Juan Soto. I'm not telling you you get him cheap, but you're not having to give up your top prospects to get either of those guys.
I don't agree with that. You're not going to have to give up top prospects to get Juan Soto? He's got a full year left.
They're not giving up Cade Horton. They're not giving up Pete Crow Armstrong, and they're not giving up Matt Shaw. Other than that, in a top five farm system, there's plenty to give up. But for 1 year, I'm giving up those guys? No shot.
No, but you're talking a great player. Look, when the Padres traded for him, they traded half the farm for him.
But they got him for 3 years.
Hear me out. Not only did they get him for 3 years or 2.5 or whatever it was, but they also did it with the idea
of trading him,
of signing him to an extension,
or trading him and getting back a lot.
But initially the idea was that he could be your guy when Machado opts out.
Right.
And so they extended Machado, but that's a team that did so much spending. When they extended Machado, they didn't rule out extending Soto as well. And so that's what you're going to see if somebody trades for Soto. They're going to trade a lot to get him so that they have a chance and to turn around and have a year of exclusivity to get him signed to an extension. You talk about trading for the 1 year of Soto. If that were the entire market, then you might be right. But there's no way that's the entire market, because other people trying to trade for him are going to think long-term with him, and they might be willing to give up more.
That's a Boris guy again.
Right. But, you know, that doesn't – he's also one of the best young players in the game.
Agree, but that's a Boris guy again. You just got done telling me Cody Bellinger's going to the market. So is Juan Soto.
Well, we'll see, right? Because he turned down a contract with the Nationals before they traded him. I don't think he counted on getting traded. And I wonder if he looks back and wishes he had taken that money, because it was some money that may not be there going forward. I want to say it was $400 million or something like that.
It was. So if you said to me, I'm the Cubs, okay, you can have Soto and he will sign an extension. Okay, I'm getting a generationally good player. Okay, I'll give you basically what you want out of my system. But if I'm taking all the risk, I get them for 1 year, you're not getting guys with 7 years of control that I think are going to be stars. You're not. Not for me.
Well, I mean, that's fine. But the market is a diverse market. Not everybody's going in with the same plan, the same timelines that the Cubs are. So, you know, you have to factor that in as what the price might be. So, you know, the idea that you can go in and say, well, my top three prospects are off the board, well, that might take you out of the running for him.
Okay, then it does, unless he's going to sign an extension.
Right. And so, you know, And then that becomes a little more complicated. And, you know, we'll see. But, you know, you're talking about Pine. I do think this, Cap, if you want to focus on what the best path to winning and building this into something that's gotten – now, they won 83 games this year. They finished one short of making it, actually two short because they didn't have the tiebreaker.
By the way, I won our bet. I said they would win. You had lower number of wins than I did. I won.
I don't even think you had 83, but
I had 82 and 80.
Yeah, well, whatever. That was when the season started, right?
Yeah, so, you were like 77.
So props to the Kool-Aid man on that one. Didn't get you a playoff spot, but whatever.
Cubbies are coming, man. If you're buying a stock, you know what we are? We're like Microsoft 1991.
Ah, Jesus Christ. Here you all had it also said right around the All-Star break, we're winning the division, baby. And I told you I'd shave my goatee if that happened.
Because I know you did.
No way in hell it was going to happen. And so you were wrong on that one. But if you're building this thing for sustainability going forward, plus your best chance to win next year, these hitters are wonderful. And if you do have some inside lane to getting Bellinger back at a price that you like, then more power to you.
Would you go six for 180 with him?
I'm still a little leery long term with him, just because of some of the recent history with the Dodgers. Dodgers are a really good organization for putting you in a position to be your best you and succeed. And I know he had some injury issues, and maybe it was all injury issues, but I'm still a little leery of the long term with him. I don't mind the $30 million a year based on what he did. That's probably about right. So that part, no. 6 years, maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't go longer.
I wouldn't either. Yeah, I wouldn't either. Somebody might, though. Somebody went eight with KB, and Bryant was older. So somebody probably will. And maybe that's what keeps the AAV down to maybe 27 or 28 if they do. I don't know. But my point is that if you could get him for what you want, fine. But if you can't, put your eggs in the basket of pitching and run prevention. It's what you've already started to do, and it's already started to pay off, and you've got more pitching coming. So if you can put yourself in a position where next year you've got another reliable front half of the rotation guy and a real bullpen again, now you can do any number of things. And you've also got some sustainability in that model beyond next year because of some of the pitching you have coming. You've got even more sustainability, but you also have a chance to give yourself your best chance to take a step forward next year as well, which should be a playoff berth. Nothing short of that is anything close to successful. And so you got to put yourself in that position. And by the way, you got a long way to go because 83 wins is nice, but here's the facts. They had a losing record against every single team that made the playoffs in the National League this year, including the other team that just missed, the Reds. So they had of the top seven other teams in the league that had a losing record against every one of them. So that's your deficit as you go in next year. You've got to make that up.
We're coming, Gordon.
Here we go.
Let me ask you a question. Connor Bedard of the Blackhawks, he's like a generational talent. Like, right. Everyone's so excited he's here. The Bulls, eh. The Bears, they're horrible. The White Sox, they're awful.
Never mind. Go ahead.
What is the most exciting thing this winter in Chicago sports? The Bulls, Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks, or the Cubs offseason?
I know where you fall on that. It's got to be Bedard, though. It's got to be.
They're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah,
generational playoff player. But it's the Cubs offseason.
But to see this
when
guy,
Jed's sitting up there with his arm around somebody of consequence, I'm going to be in the back going back, baby.
Well, that's you. But if you're talking across the board, just the the general sports fan that likes all the teams in town, you got to be loving this idea of Bedard and watching him emerge into whatever he becomes this year.
Yeah, it'll be super cool. But you wait.
Days you get to see him play.
You wait. We're going to have some big press conference and the Danny Rockets, the Michael Ceramis, the Brett Taylors. We're going to all be hanging out in Wrigleyville going, yeah, we're back.
I'll come down for that press conference.
You got it. Gordon, have a great rest of your day.
All right. You too, Kev.
All right. There he is, my guy, Gordon Wittenmeyer. We are chopping it up on all things Cubs every week here on our Cubs Recap Podcast channel. By the way, who's your pick to play in the World Series?
Ooh, good call. Well, Atlanta. I mean, they're the best team, even with a couple of pitching issues. I mean, easily the best team. And, how about the Minnesota Twins?
Wow. I think it's Atlanta and the Rangers.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting call.
Yeah.
They got their own pitching problems, too.
They do. All right. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
All right. There he is. Gordon Wittenmeyer and I together every week here on our Cubs Recap channel. Have a great rest of your day. Fly that W, baby, and go Cubs. Take that.